And this is the Gemara in Perek Bnei Yair Megillah Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, Amar Reb Yochanan, Kol Makim Sha'ata Meitzei Gvurasi Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ata Meitzei An Vosnusi. Where you find the might of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there you will find his anava, his humility. This concept is written in the Torah, is repeated in Nevi'im and the prophets, and reiterated a third time in the writings. Kasav b'Torah, he brings some Torah. Dvarim yud ki Hashem alekeichem hu alekeha alekim v'adeni ha'adenim Hashem. Your God is the God of gods and the Master of masters. Uksiv basay. What does it say following that? Aysim mishpat yasim v'alman. He does justice for an orphan and a widow. Shani ben Nevi'im, it is repeated in the prophets, in Yeshaya Perik Nun Zayin, Ki kai amar ram v'nisa sheichin ad v'kadosh v'gaymer uksiv basrei v'ezdako shval ruach. The pasuk says, Ki kai amar ram v'nisa sheichin ad v'kadosh shmai marim v'kadosh eshkin v'ezdako shval ruach l'hachi yesh ruach shvalim l'hachi yesh lev nitkayim. For thus said the exalted and uplifted one who abides forever and whose name is holy, I abide in exaltedness and holiness, but I am with the despondent and lowly of spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the despondent. And then he quotes a third pasuk of Ksuvim, Tehillim, conveying the same concept. Just to shift for a moment, if you look into Gemara, you'll see Kol Makim Shatameitzi Gvuras Ish LaKadosh Baruch Hu Shamatameitzi and Vosnusi. So the terminology the Gemara uses is the word Gvura. But in Tanya over here, the Alter Rebbe says Gdulasei Shal HaKadosh Baruch. But indeed, in the Gduki Seferim, which is the Sefer that brings and quotes various versions and Girsayas in the Talmudical text, there is a Girsa of Kol Makim Shatameitzi Gdulasei Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this Maimer Chazal is brought thus, as the Alter Rebbe quotes it, in Medrash and Yalkut Shemayni Tilim Remes Tavshin Tzadik Dalet, in Pirush HaMishnayis of the Rambam, in Pirkei Avos, in Perek Dalet Mishnah Dalet, in Pachad Yitzchak in this very place, in Psikta Zutrisi, in Ekev, Perek Yud Pasek Yud Zayin, in Bechaye, in Parashas Ekev Yud Ches, and in many other sources. The reason why I say this is there's an interesting tshuva in the Neida Behuda. Neida Behuda, Rabbi Cheska Lando of Prague, writes a letter dated Ches Tammuz Tovkuf Mem Zayin, the 8th day of Tammuz 1797, printed in Charles Tshuvas, Neida Behuda, Mardur Tinyan Erechayim Simen Chaf. Ayid writes to him and questions that in V'yitin Lecha, in many Jewish communities, in many Sidurim, in V'yitin Lecha, what do we say? Kol makim sh'atameitzei gdulasei shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu shamatameitzei en vesnusi. And he says in Gemara, it says gvurasei shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Neida Behuda gets into a whole discussion and struggles with reconciling between what the Gemara says, gvurasei shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Nusach and the V'yitin Lecha. And he comes up with an answer, but in light of the above, that in many, many Sfarim and Medrash, beginning with Midrashim and Rishayim and Achrayim, the Girsa is Gdulasei Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the question of this gentleman, of this Rav, to the Neida Behuda, is naturally eradicated. So what is the point? The Alter Rebbe is bringing it from this Maimon Chazal. We see that simultaneously with the Gdula, with the exaltedness, with the greatness, with the infinite quality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, together with this quality we find, Anvas Nusi, the humility of Hashem. As we see in this psukim and these verses, for example, that Hashem, who is exalted and uplifted, finds himself together with those who are lowly of spirit, together with those who are depressed, who are broken, who are melancholy, who are heartbroken. So Hashem, with all His exalted and greatness, lowers Himself and attends Himself to the needy and to the people who have possessed lowly spirits. This Shem, who is the Master of all Master and God of Gods, attends to the needs of an orphan, of a lonely orphan and a lonely widow. What do we see from here? That together with Gdulas Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have the quality of Anvasnus Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu that always coexist and work hand in hand together. And the same is true regarding this issue, that although we're talking about Chachmasi and Ritzenish LaKadosh Baruch Hu, which are part and parcel of Gdulasi Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of the infinite wisdom, over there in this very issue, in this very entity, we find Hashem exercising His ability of Anava, of humility. In what sense? So He continues, V'tzimtzim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ritzenei V'Chachmasi V'Taryag Mitzvei Satero B'Lechisei. Hashem compressed His will and wisdom in the 613 commandments of their Torah, and in their halachas, in their laws. Hashem, so to speak, took His wisdom and His will and compressed them, condensed them, articulated them in the 613 mitzvahs of Torah and in all the halachas, all the laws connected with these 113 mitzvahs. And further, he compressed them in the letter combinations of the Tanakh, of the Torah, of the Nevi'im and Ksuvim. The very will and wisdom of Hashem compressed itself in the letters of the Tanakh, and Hashem's wisdom and will are also contained in the exposition of these psukim of Tanakh found in the Agadis and Medrashim of our sages, Zichronim Livracha, of blessed memory. Why did he do this? B'chdei shekol haneshama iruach v'nefesh b'gufa adam tucha lahasigin b'daita. Hashem did this in order that every neshama, or even the lower soul levels of ruach and nefesh, situated as they are in the human body, will be able to grasp them with its intellect. And in order that it, the nefesh, ruach, or neshama, fulfill them as far as they can be fulfilled in action, in speech, and in thought. Thereby, clothing itself with all its 10 faculties in these 3 garments of the thought, speech, and action of Torah mitzvahs. So Hashem wanted to give the ability and the potential for the human soul, enclosed in a physical body, to relate to Torah mitzvahs, both on the cognitive level and in the functional level, to understand it and to implement it. Therefore, He compressed His will and His wisdom in terms relating to the experience of man, the Tayag mitzvahs of Torah, the halachas, and further, so that we should be able to understand it and be able to implement it, fulfill it, thus connecting our neshames, our 10 faculties, with Torah and mitzvahs via our 3 garments of thought, speech, and action. V'lachein. Therefore, nimshala ha-Torah l'mayim. Torah has been compared to water. Because ma-mayim yodim emakim gavaya l'makim namach. For just as water descends from a higher level to a lower level, the same is true regarding Torah, that Torah is compared to water, that it also descends from a higher plane to a lower plane. The comparison of Torah to water we find in many places in Chazal, beginning with Tainis Dav Zayin Amar Aleph. The Gemara says, Amar Reb Chanina Baridi, Lama Nimshalu Divre Torah L'mayim Diksiv Haichal Tzami L'chul L'mayim. Why were the words of Torah compared to water, as the Pasuk says in Yeshaya Nun Ei Aleph? Every thirsty man go to the water, go to the reservoirs of water. And the Navi is referring to Torah. To teach you that just as water leave their high plane and travel to a low place, the same Torah does not exist only in a humble human being who is compared to a low plane. But Bekamadav Pei Beis, the Gemara also explains the Pasuk Vayelchu, Shloish Siyamim, B'loi Mayim, when the Yidden came out of Mitzrayim, and the Gemara says that Dayashir Yishum is Vayelchu Shloish Siyamim Bamidbar V'loi Matzu Mayim. They went 3 days in the Midbar, they didn't find water, and Shmais Tesvav, Dayashir Yishum is Amru, Ein Mayim Ela Torah, water refers to Torah, and therefore Amdu Neviim Shebeinayim V'tiknu Lahem Sheyu Kairim B'Shabbos, they were Masakin, that Yidden should read Torah every Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos, so that 3 days should not pass without the study of Torah. So the Alter Rebbe gives us one of the explanations why Torah is compared to water. Just as water leave their high place and continue and travel to a lower plane, kach ha-Torah yardim emakim kveida. The same is true regarding Torah, that the Torah has descended from its place of glory, this lofty spiritual plane, which is its source. Shehi, what is this place of glory? Ritzaynei v'chachmasi yizbarach. Its original state is Hashem's will and wisdom. V'ayraisa v'kutshabrichu kulachar and teira is one and the same with Hashem. V'leis machshavet v'sebiklan, whom no thought can apprehend at all. And since teira is one with Hashem, it means that just as no thought can comprehend Hashem, no thought can comprehend teira. So on that plane, on its original plane in Makim Kveid, the Torah is incomprehensible totally to man as Hashem Himself. So the Torah left that plane, umisham, and from there, nasa v'yard b'seisr hamadrig, the Torah has journeyed in a descent through hidden stages, mi madrega le madrega, stage after stage, b'yishtalshalus ha'ilamus, in the evolution of worlds, atch nishlapsha, bidvarim gashmim v'nyan ilam haz, until it clothed itself in material matters and things of this corporal world, shein reiv mitzvah ha'Torah kekulon v'hilcheseyim, which comprised nearly all the Torah's commandments and their laws, ubitzirufei oisyeis gashmis. And the Torah clothed itself also in the physical letter combinations, bidyoy ala sefer, with ink in a book, esin v'abas svarim sheba Torah Nevi'im k'suv, namely the 24 svarim of Torah Nevi'im and k'suvim. Why did this journey take place? Kidei, in order shetehei kol machshava tvisa ben, that every human thought be able to grasp them. Va'afilu b'chinas dibur u'maisa shalamata mimadregas machshava, and so that even speech and action of the human being, which are on a lower level than thought, be able to grasp them, what them, Hashem's will and wisdom, and clothe themselves in them by performing the mitzvahs in speech and in action. What is the Alter Rebbe telling us here? How did the Alter Rebbe answer the question? There is a concept he mentions over here called Ishtalshelus Ha'olam, is the evolution of worlds. The Torah journeyed through the evolution of worlds. What is the meaning of this? The concept of Ishtalshelus is mentioned also in Perek Beis regarding the Neshama. We discussed it then as well briefly. In a point, the idea of Ishtalshelus is there is an order of evolution which Hashem employed in the creation of the universe. Instead of just creating the physical world as it is, Hashem began by creating all existences in their most sublime and spiritual form. He then caused them to evolve and metamorphosize in many steps and stages into their more concrete incarnation, ultimately producing our physical world, the final and most tangible embodiment of these realities. For example, the Kabbalah explains that earth, the moon, and femaleness do not begin in the physical realm of existence, but rather they are physical incarnations of nurture and receptiveness that exist in the metaphysical realms of existence, which evolve and change until they assume a physical, concrete identity. Water, light, and love, for example, are all elements of giving or bestowal in their higher metaphysical sources. And so it is with every single entity, phenomenon, concept that is part of the created reality. Each exists on the many levels of the Seder Ishtalshelus, beginning from its most abstract and spiritual form down to the object and forces of our physical existence. Generally speaking, in Perek Beis, the Alter Rebbe said that this evolution of worlds consists of four realms, four worlds, four universes. Atzilus, Briya, Yetzirasiya. Emanation, creation, formation, and action. So everything in this world begins not in this physical world, but rather in their most sublime and spiritual abstract form in the first world. But over there, an apple does not have the physical measurement and taste and size and features of our physical apple. But over there, all the features, sizes, colors, and taste are embodied and personified by a spiritual truth, and then the apple, in its most sublime form, continues to evolve and change and metamorphose from world to world, every world becoming more coarse and more tangible, until finally it arrives in this world, and over here it assumes a wholly physical and tangible identity, which we touch, taste, smell, feel, hear and see, and so on and so forth. This is basically true. This is basically the concept, in one word, of the evolution of the worlds. The Torah is Chachmasi Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the wisdom of Hashem. As it is the wisdom of Hashem, which is one with Him, we cannot understand it. We do not have an ability to grasp it, to comprehend it, to relate to it, to experience it, to apply it, to conceive it. Because thus there's less machshava tfisa beklal. No thought can apprehend him at all. And the same is true regarding mitzvahs, which are his will. So Torah over there we cannot understand. But Hashem wanted to give the ability, wanted to give the human being the ability to connect with him, which that is the ultimate purpose of creation. So what did he do? He took the Torah and he sent it on a journey through the evolution of the worlds. And what happened in this journey was that the Torah began to articulate itself and define itself in terminology and phraseology and in concepts that relate to the human mortal mind. And this journey went through all the worlds. In every world, the Torah's identity became that much more tangible and concrete to the human mind until it arrived into the physical realm of existence relating to our physical life and experience. Take, for example, a concept in Hilchos Shabbos that there are four rishuyos, there are four domains. There is the private domain, there is the public domain, and then the other two domains called Karmelis and Makom Ptur. Or take a concept in Torah and Halacha called the Dalet Shemer. Four types of guarding is the Shemer Chinam, the Shemer Sachar, the Seicher, and the Shayel. This is the wisdom of Hashem. But in its original form, we cannot comprehend it at all. So what did Hashem do? He took this very wisdom, this very concept, and he condensed it. He compressed it. He articulated it in terms, in terminology and concepts that relate to our mind. And in this, there are many levels. It goes through an entire revolution. There is the same concept of four guardians, how it is studied in the world of Atzilus. Over there, you also have four guardians. But over there, the definition of guardians is the most sublime, spiritual, and abstract form. So its definition is different. But the concept remains the same. And then it evolves to the next world, and then to the next world, until it assumes, and it relates to the identity of our world, where it assumes the meaning of four physical guardians who you give a deposit to. You give them your physical cow or donkey, and they guard it in their home. And it gets lost or stolen, and so on and so forth. This is the meaning, by the way, we're coming from Shavuos. The Gemara says in Shabbos Peches that when Moshe went up to heaven, the Malachim Masri, Yilud Isha Beinenu, what is a human being doing over here? So Hashem said, he came to receive the Torah. So they said, leave the Torah in heaven. Why are you giving it down on earth? Chem the Gnuza. The Torah is a diamond, is a concealed treasure that existed 976 years before the world was created. Tuf Kuf Ayin Dalad, 974 generations before the world was created. You're giving it to earth. You're giving it to mortal men. And Moshe was frightened. Hashem told him to answer them. Moshe says, look what it says in the Torah. Torah talks about Mitzrayim. Have you ever been in Mitzrayim? Torah talks about a father and mother respecting them. Do you have parents? You're malachim. You're angels. Torah talks about not murdering, not stealing, not envying, not committing adultery. You don't have these problems. So the malachim conceded and they agreed that the Torah should go to Moshe to go down to earth. So the Mefarshim asked the question, let's say, theoretically, the Malachim would have achieved what they wanted to achieve. What type of Torah would have it been? What's the Ga'inus? What is the brilliant in Moshe's answer? What did the Malachim think? Open up a Chumash. What is the Chumash about? Adam and Chav eating of Eitz Hadas. Yesu's brothers throwing him into a pit. Yidden suffering 210 years in Galus Mitzrayim. Building a Mishkan. Korach being swallowed up in a pit. Spies going up and back from Israel. From Eretz Yisrael. So what is the Torah all about? Take Gemara. What is Gemara all about? What was the Malachim? What was their complaint? What did they want? Zak the Al-Shech in Tehillim in his Pirushan Tehillim is Merchaz. The Marsha says it briefly in his Pirushan Gemara. The Malachim wanted the Torah that we have. But they wanted that the Torah should not make that final physical journey. The Torah should stop in the midst of the evolution of the worlds. The Torah should stop after the world of Yetzirah and not take the following last step into the world of Asiyah. Then, when you would open up a Gemara and learn about four Shemim, you would not be able to translate it as four physical guardians. That would not be Torah. The Torah would stop in its spiritual realm and not assume the physical identity and relationship. They want the Torah's Hasoid. That's what they wanted, which is the source and the origin of every concept in Torah. Moshe accomplished, and the Tzivah, the Torah, should be given on earth. In other words, that the Chachma of Hashem should be compressed and condensed further and be articulated in terms and definitions that apply to physical phenomena and physical reality. So this is the process, what happened to Torah. And this explains the question. Dr. Eber said, how can we say that the Torah that man grasps is the wisdom of Hashem, the mitzvah that man fulfills is the will of Hashem, which is one with him? It should be unfathomable and uncomprehendable. So the Alter Rebbe explains, B'makim shata maitzik delasi, you find that must say, indeed, essentially the Torah is incomprehensible and the mitzvah is unfathomable. But Hashem took His very wisdom and His very will, which is non-comprehensible to the human mortal mind, and articulated it, compressed it, in terms, in terminology, in concepts that relate to our mind. So now we can open up a sefer of Torah, learn it and understand it. The same is true regarding his ratzin. His ratzin, originally in its original state, we cannot even translate. It's not fixed or defined or articulated in a way that we should even understand what is going on. But he took this very ratzin and he articulated it in terms that relate to the human experience, to the human consciousness, to the human personality. So why did he do this? Because he wanted that we should have a relationship with Hashem. Our nefesh, ruach, and neshama do not suffice for that. So we had to give us the Torah and mitzvahs and give it to us in a way that we should relate to it both in the cognitive level of learning Torah and in the functional level of implementing mitzvahs. Through this, our thought and even our speech and our action can grasp, can have a connection to Torah and thus have a relationship with Hashem. You want to ask? Is it clear? Someone wants to ask something? Yeah. So you're asking? Yeah, go. The question he's asking is that if we would say that the Torah changes, the Torah assumes a different identity, it's not the same Torah, it's not the very wisdom of Hashem, I can understand. But the whole point over here is that the Torah that we learn and the mitzvahs that we do are the wisdom and will of Hashem, which are one with Hashem. So how did Alter Rebbe answer the question? How ultimately can we indeed comprehend Torah? How can we fathom Torah? What happened over here? Very good. Very good. So the Alter Rebbe is saying that this is indeed what Torah and mitzvahs are about. What the Hashem did, what the Ribbono Shel Olam did. His very wisdom and will is not comprehended. Just as He is not comprehended, His wisdom and will are not comprehended. And if it would have remained as that without any further move, we indeed would not be able to have any relationship with Torah or mitzvahs. But Hashem wanted human beings should be able to have a relationship. So He took this very Torah, this very wisdom, and with Tzimtzim. Tzimtzim over here does not mean He obscured it or contracted it. It means He articulated it. He compressed it in terms which relate to the human experience. So, and that's why He related this Ratzin and Chachma in Taryag Mitzvahs HaTorah. They translated into 630 mitzvahs and halachis of these 630 mitzvahs, which basically constitute the whole of Torah Shebaksam and Torah Shebaalpeh. Now we can relate to His Ratzin and to His Chachma, which relate to these Taryag Mitzvahs HaTorah. In the Tanakh, the wisdom of Hashem is even connected to the very combination of the letters. The very combination of the physical letters contains in it godly wisdom. And the same is, of course, true Agada and Medrash. And that's why the Torah is compared to water. What occurs by water? And this is why he gives the metaphor of water. The water that existed in the higher plane, that very same water descends to the lower plane. It's not a ray of the water, a glimpse of the water, a portrait of the water, a template of the water. The water itself that existed in the higher plane journeys and arrives to the lower plane. That's the depth of the metaphor of water. The same is true regarding the Torah. His very wisdom, which is one with him and thus by definition incomprehensible, his very will, which is one with him and thus by definition not also unfathomable, that very wisdom and will traveled and compressed itself and articulated and defined itself in stage after stage through the evolution of the world until it enclosed itself in concepts of this material world. For example, the halachas of tzitzis, the wisdom and the laws of tzitzis, the Torah is the wisdom and the mitzvahs are the law, deal with wool that exists on the body of a sheep and a physical garment that a human being has to make. This we relate to, this we can understand, this we can grasp, this we can implement. Same is true regarding the combination of the letters, the physical letters in the Tanakh. This gives us the ability to actually comprehend it. If this would have not occurred, we would have never had the ability to relate to Torah or to mitzvahs. The great uniqueness of Torah and mitzvahs is that when we open up a sefer of Torah and we learn a word of Torah, this is the very wisdom of Hashem, which is one with Him, and thus essentially, in its inherent state, unfathomable. But b'makim shatamaitzik d'lasi shamatamaitzi an v'snusik, He articulated this very wisdom in terms and concepts that do relate to us. So the terminology changed, the phraseology varied, the vessel changes, but the nature of the essence of the wisdom that is being conveyed did not change in the sense that it is His very wisdom and will that we are relating to. Did I answer your question? No. Yeah, one second.
The part of the answer could be that he wants it to give us a challenge. We take from this Gashmi's Nigat Mitzvah, we do the Gashmi's and raise it to a spiritual. Bahapech to the Geshem to Rachni, to go higher, to realize there's Ein Sof. So you have a whole lifetime to try to get the highest point you can get to. Go leave the Oyuha Gashmi, go to the.
Yeah. His question, as I explained it before, his question is, the Alter Rebbe asked, that it says, Ein cheker l'tfunase. It says, ha-cheker l'katimtza. It says, ki lo'i machshavayse machshavayseich. Yeah. So the Alter Rebbe wanted to know, if that is the case, how is it possible that the Torah we grasp is the divine wisdom? If it would be the divine wisdom, we would not be able to grasp it. So the answer is, so what does he answer? That you could understand the divine wisdom. So what was his question? Can you understand it or can you not understand it?
According to these two different verses, you say that not. So then, I understand. Now he's explaining how taka that what you think is as a contradiction of duality, but it's also that it is possible. That's the way I understand.
So the answer, what is the explanation? If he's asking a question, he has to give an answer. If he doesn't have an answer, he shouldn't ask a question. So the answer is that b'makim shatamaitzik gdulasi sham atamaitzik and vasnusi. Torah is part of gdulasi shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which essentially cannot be comprehended by the human mind. And therefore, ein cheker l'tvonasi, a cheker l'katimtza, k'lei machshavayse machshavayseich. There had to be a nasa v'yarda b'seisra madregis, mi madrega l'madrega b'shtal shel ha'olamos. The Torah had to travel and assume a physical incarnation so that we should relate to it. Similar to a teacher who is trying to impart an intellectual concept to his pupil, but the pupil cannot grasp it. There's just something totally new to the pupil that he does not have the ability to comprehend in his present state of mind. The parameters of his mind at this very moment simply do not possess the ability of grasping this new revolutionary thought that his teacher is trying to explain to him. So what does the teacher do? What would you do if you were a teacher? The teacher employs a new method. He creates a metaphor. A mashal. What is the concept of a metaphor? He defines the very same idea in a situations, in vessels, in terminology, in definitions that relate to the world perspective and point of view of the student. The world of the metaphor the student understands. Now he can come and abstract and strip the external layers and get to the kernel of the idea. This is the idea of the Torah evolving from one plane to another plane. The difference, of course, over here is that you're dealing with an infinite wisdom of Hashem. The teacher and the pupil, the difference between them, even if it's great, it's relative. The difference between Hashem and humanity is the difference between a creator and a created reality, which is absolute, which is infinite, unequivocal. But nevertheless, the Makim Shatamaitzik Delasi over there, you experience his humility where he compressed and condensed and articulated his very wisdom and will in concepts, words, phrases, and terms that can relate to the human experience. That's why we say that Torah as we learn it now is infinite. Because essentially it's his wisdom. So even the Torah which we understand you could learn for 1,000 years, for 10,000 years, and still not touch and reach its end, its ultimate goal, its ultimate peak. The Baal Shem Tov once interpreted the pasuk in Tehillim, Torah is Hashem Tmima. The Torah is Hashem is complete. You know what the Baal Shem Tov said? That after 3,000 years of learning Torah, we have still not even made one dent into the Torah. You would think, when you have a cake, and the cake is laying around for 3,000 years in front of Jews, there would be a few dents in the cake. Torah is being studied and learned and written on for how many years? Zog de Baal Shem Tov, it's Tmima. It remains complete, it wasn't touched. Well, how is this possible? So the answer is, because since this very Torah that we are learning is the wisdom of Hashem, it's totally infinite, it's absolutely infinite, absolute, eternal, because essentially it's His very wisdom, and Hashem is infinite. So how much we comprehend, and we do comprehend, and we are Mekayim Mitzvot Talmud Torah. There is more, and more, and constantly always more to probe deeper and deeper. Arucham, the Pasuk says, Arucham Eretz Midah, Arucham Miniyam. Its size is longer than the earth, and its breadth is larger than the sea. Let me conclude, as usual, with a story. Since we mentioned the Neid of Yehuda, I'll say a story about the Neid of Yehuda. And this discusses, albeit briefly, because your question was a good question regarding how Neshamis have the right to master, so to speak, Torah. But it sheds some light onto it, although it does not exhaust the subject, which requires a separate class and a separate discussion. The famed author of the Neid of Yehuda, of Shalos HaTshuvos Neid of Yehuda, Rabbi Cheskel Landau, served as the rabbi of Prague from the years 5514 to the year 5533, from 1754 to 1793. Once a group of scholars who wished to contest his rabbinic qualifications presented him with a series of questions in Torah law, where they were carefully constructed to be as complex as possible, as misleading as possible, so to make sure that the rabbi will get stuck in these logical traps and he'll become embarrassed through his incorrect ruling. Rabbi Cheskel Landau had many opposers, some opposers in the city, and this is what he tried to do. Rabbi Cheskel, the Neid of Yehuda, succeeded in resolving all the questions correctly. That is, all the questions but one. Immediately his detractors began shouting and screaming, "Aha! We demonstrated how his verdict contradicts a certain principle in Torah law." Said Rabbi Cheskel, "I am certain that this case that they have presented to me is not actual, and they have invented it just for the sake of embarrassing me." You see why he says like this. Whenever a man of flesh and blood is called upon to decide a matter of Torah law, we are confronted with a very powerful and basic dilemma. How can the human mind possibly determine what Hashem's will is? The do's and don'ts, do nots of the Torah are the guidelines by which the Almighty desires that we order our lives. How is it that the finite and error-prone intellect of a mortal human being is authorized to decide such divine absolutes? A mind as brilliant, as ingenious it is but relative. is but human, is but finite, is equivocal. How can we determine this? But Torah itself, the very Torah that was given by Hashem, declares in Parashas Nitzavim Bei Reklam, Torah Lo Bashamayim, that Torah is not in heaven, but has been given to man to study and comprehend, instructing. The Torah is instructing that whenever a question or issue is raised, it is man employing his finite knowledge and judgment who must render a ruling in this specific case. In other words, what Hashem is doing over here is that when a person puts aside all considerations of self and totally surrenders his mind to serve the Torah, Hashem guarantees that the result will be utterly consistent with his will. However, concluded Rabbi Cheskel, he says, this guarantee only applies to actual events. When a rabbi is called upon to determine what it is that Hashem desires to be done in a given situation, or what he desires should not be done in a given situation, then Hashem guarantees that if the rabbi does put his mind to it and surrenders himself and puts aside his own ego and considerations, this can determine indeed what halach is, what Hashem's absolute wills. But Hashem does not make this guarantee if the rabbi's personal honor is the only issue at hand. Had you presented me with an actually relevant question, I know that I would have not erred. Why? Since I approached the matter with no interest or motive other than to serve the will of Hashem. But since your case was merely a hypothetical one, designed but to mislead me, not to actually find out how we are to act in a given situation, my mind was just like every other human mind, great or small, imperfect and manipulable. Have a wonderful week.
Rabbi Jacobson delivers this weekly class on the Tanya each Sunday morning at Heichal Menachem in the Borough Park section of Brooklyn, New York. To order additional tapes or to receive the tapes weekly by mail, please call Heichal Menachem at 718-633-1076.